Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Dr. Catherine May's Blog Talk Radio Program Channel Panel. Welcome. What a wonderful program we have tonight. I'm so excited. Just a little business out of the way before we get started with our wonderful lineup of wonderful Company of Heaven and boots on the ground chat tonight. We just have, hot off the press, a new New Earth Times newsletter. For those of you who are already signed up, you will see it already in your mailboxes. And for those who haven't yet, make sure you sign up to get this right when it comes off the press. Go to whoneedslight.org, and hit the sign up button at the top and give us your email address, and you will hear the messages coming from the Company of Heaven, Mother and Father God, Catherine and Christine. So there's one tonight, so make sure you go and check that out. Today's Wednesday, November 11th, 11/11, a very auspicious day, and hopefully we'll hear more about why. We also have a Facebook page, Who Needs Light? You can also find our messages posted there, along with other news and information. My name's Meg. I'm your co-host for today. I have a Facebook page for health information, Wisdom Within - Meg Davis. And with that, I'll welcome our hosts, Catherine and Christine, for our wonderful program today. Welcome.
Hi, Meg.
Hi.
Hi.
Meg.
Hey.
Yes, and Christine is here. She's right here beside me.
Yes, I'm here. Oh, this is wonderful.
Yes. So... Well, yes, we had a busy day. We just sent out the newsletter a little while ago. And we've been talking with the Company of Heaven and our friends all day long. And I have to tell you, they are so excited. They're silly. I've never heard them so silly. First this afternoon, I'm hearing... You put the lime in the coconut and drink it all up. Put the lime in the coconut. What? What's that? Who? Why do I keep hearing this song? In fact, I've heard it before, and I wondered why I was hearing this song. So I came in to Christine. I said, what? I said, what? I'm hearing this coconut song. She said, yep, I'm hearing it too. So we sit down and put our heads together and we go, okay, who's here? Who's sending us this song and what does it mean? I don't get it. So then I went, oh, wait a minute. What's your association to coconuts and lime? The Caribbean, a vacation on the beach, something really cool and pleasant. And then I feel this energy, and it's Saint Germain.
Oh.
So Saint Germain is singing, put the lime in the coconut and drink it all up. So I went, oh, there must be a message in that. It's about vacations coming. Prosperity coming,
mm.
Things coming, and fun. So then we were laughing about that for a long time. I went off to do something, came back in, and Christine is taking the message. And she burst out laughing, and she said, "I can't believe what just happened. I was just typing, and you finished the sentence."
So you tell it. It was so funny.
Hey, everybody. Well, I was channeling a written message for the newsletter from Michael, Archangel Michael. And then suddenly I felt like this energy hiccup. Nothing unpleasant or no alert that nothing's wrong. And then I looked down and I've somehow typed the word coconut. So I was like, oh, my. Hi, Saint Germain. Got some more good news? We have been getting flybys all day long. So we have unofficially titled tonight's show. Just when you think it can't get any stranger around here. It does. So, and we are just giddy ourselves because as we're going to tell you the story of the wrap-up of the Frequency Project we've been on for months, and the amazing, challenging, yet wrap-up party is in full gear talking to you guys tonight, what's happened and the miracles that are already coming out of it. And so I'm going to give you back to Catherine right now. And I feel Saint Germain close. So I don't know. I think it's like a crowd to get in to see who's going to speak first tonight. Here's Catherine.
Well, they asked me to give a little description of what our last days. We're going to forever think of this as our last days in the project. We've written about it a little bit and talked about it on the show, the Frequency Project, as it was called. Well, it got, like we said, stranger and stranger and weirder and weirder. And Christine was really, really sick the last couple weeks, because the more we worked at it, the more we invited the ones who were sending out the frequencies to come home, the more we talked to them, the more they hit us with newer and stranger and more bizarre frequencies. So night before last, I think it was, in the wee hours of the night, I had been talking with them, saying, you know, come on home, everybody. And I felt a presence. And the feelings were just overwhelming sadness and pain. And I felt a particular person, and he said his name was Vinny. And he came through, and he said it was because I was talking about how they had been injured. And we kept saying, you know, these people wouldn't be hitting us and torturing us unless they had been tortured themselves. It's a psychological truth that people who are torturing have been tortured themselves. So I talked to him about it, and I started to cry, and I felt the energy of sadness of all the people, children especially, who have been sexually abused and tortured. And I started to talk about that, and I said, I know almost all of you have been subjected to that kind of thing. And then came a wave of the most profound sadness, and all I could do was just sob. And I felt their feelings. I felt releasing it. And Vinny came, and I just wrapped my arms around him. I could feel his presence. I just wrapped my arms around him, and we cried and cried. And then he came to be rescued. He's safe. He's been escorted to a safe house. He will be helped to heal. And he contacted me very shortly afterwards, and he said, I'm going back to get more of my my coworkers and people I know. I know they've been feeling what I'm feeling. It was like his heart just broke open. And so I knew as I was doing this, I was upstairs and Christine was sleeping. And I knew when I brought up the subject and started talking to them all about it, that they were going to attack. Because the ones, I could feel them thinking, we don't want to talk about this. We can't talk about this. It's done. It's over. I don't remember it. Never happened. I'm just doing this because. So more and more I felt this, and I kept talking and kept talking to them, and was told later that a number of them came later that night. So this all opened a huge, it's like a door opened in an enormous wall. And the next day, Christine was in so much pain, she was practically chewing on the bedpost and just trying to get through it. And we became very aware that she was feeling the pain too, and feeling the awareness of so much pain that it almost felt like it would never be possible to release it all. Now, the reason I'm telling you this story is because it's so important. It was really a revelation to us, and I think will probably be a revelation to everyone, that the people we were dealing with were so, so injured, so deeply separated from their hearts and separated from their feelings because of the torture that they've experienced, that our compassion and our feelings of just wanting to help them, love them, bring them home, just grew and grew by the hour, in spite of the fact that we were being hit with terrible frequencies. And since Christine is the one who was to document all of it, it was important for her to be able to feel it. But, you know, at that point, things were blurring, all starting to blur together, and she was in so much pain, we really questioned whether it was, is it really necessary for us to feel all of this? And then it got worse. So I'm going to let Christine tell you a little bit about that. And then we're going to go on to one of those, just when you thought things couldn't get any stranger, this story continues. So I'm going to let Christine talk about her final day of work. And I also should let everybody know that we are finished with the project now. And we are already 100% better. So you not to worry. Christine is here. She's smiling. And she's going to actually take the phone and talk to you. So things are better already. So here she is.
Thank you, Catherine. For the 10 days leading up to that final day that Catherine was describing, I began to just stand in front of those, because one of the ways I trained over lifetimes and my training in the higher dimensions to prepare for this lifetime and the projects that I would be on is because I am a grid worker and a transmuter. I had the trained ability to follow the frequencies to their origins. and I could see and feel and hear the thoughts of those manning the stations. So after the first couple months of us following the signals back and speaking to them in different ways that you've heard us discuss over the shows and really summed up in the message that went out today. But about 10 days before this final day, I just started to stand in front of them. And I would say, I am your sister. And if you can't remember this, that I am truly your sister, that how much you don't know that is in equal proportion to how badly you've been wounded, hurt, abused, damaged yourself. But I am your sister, and I would just stand in front of them and take the frequency hits. And I could describe them. I got to know the different kinds of hits very well. Up until that last day, one of the most difficult ones is there's a frequency that can cause strokes. And often they would hit that, and I would go into terrible pain. But I had the promise from Mother God that I would live and I would have no lasting damage from this project. And we would give the project our own different names along the way. We called it Oli Oli and Free. And I also, in my heart, often called it Love Wins. Because to me, none of this was about the pain. The pain to Catherine and to me was a way we had devised in the higher dimensions when we planned the project together with the Company of Heaven. As a last resort, if the cabal and the so-called minions, the slaves, all the wounded ones, if at a certain point they hadn't come in, we would engage in this project. And it was a way to get close enough to them. Because if they can send a frequency one way to me, I can definitely follow that same frequency back to them. So it was a way for us to get close to them and be able to speak with them and to say, come home. You are loved. Healing, restoration, life review with surrounding family and a mother and father God who are aching in there to hold you back again. And it's time. The Earth Project is transitioning to the new phase. This part is wrapping up, and it's just time to come home. So that's the way we got close. So by the time we got to the final day, pretty much just a lot of the hard...
Yesterday.
Which was yesterday.
I'm reminding her.
It seems like a week ago already, because the difference from being in terrible pain to not is very strange to me still today. So yesterday, the day I really hurt was day before yesterday. Is that
mm-hmm.
true? Yeah.
About the psychic network.
Yeah, there's these programs. Catherine brings up a really great point. These programs all work together. So the chemtrails, the nanos, the toxins in our food, air, water, all work to make us better receivers of the frequencies. And so, is that what you were mentioning, Catherine?
The psychic network.
Oh, and there's another program as well. So I could also tell that when someone was running the frequencies, but someone from what I call the cabal psychic network would join in and send hours upon hours of horrific messages. Just everything from how weak I was to how I wasn't going to live. And if I had a mother, father, God, why would they let me suffer? To deeply personal things, like taunting. How can you prove there even is an Archangel Michael? And who? How dare you? Who do you think you are to call him your twin flame? Those realities are fantasy. You are worthless. You are tricking others. And I'm even shaking a little as I'm telling you all this, not because I believed them, but it's tender to hour upon hour hear those things. So it's happening to a lot of you out there. And so I do want you to know, we've had some lightworkers contact Catherine and let us know that they were going through the exact same thing. And even cases of people feeling suicidal, feeling desperate, depressed, that weren't at all anything to do with their normal state or what they deeply know and hold as a lightworker. So it was quite a lot to be coupled along with the pain. So the last day when the pain was so much, it was far over the limit I could take. And I just let loose. I was furious at the company of heaven. I said, how dare you let me experience this? This was a stupid plan. We need to amend this right now. To have that much psychic attack, and I don't even like the word attack. And it, sure, it was. But for me, I never thought of it like that inside. To me, it was a demonstration of how wounded we have all become in this third-dimensional reality that spiraled so far down into evil, extreme duality and imbalance. That's how it occurred for me. And that's why I was always able to see them as my brothers and sisters. And without effort, I only sent love back ever. I did let the company of heaven have it for a stretch that day, but I figured they could take it. And I was very convinced they deserved it right about then. So we never understand, rarely do we understand what's happening until we come out the other side. So I'm going to give the phone back to Catherine and let her pick up the story from here.
I'm not sure where to go with this. it was so fascinating.
What was it like
to watch? Oh, well, what was I doing? I was holding the light. Now I know what it means. Now I know what they mean when they say that. I sat by Christine while she was going through these hours of pain. And just kept a steady connection to her. Just kept sending love and hanging on to her. And she later said, she described it later as, yeah, Catherine was holding on to my balloon string. So I was holding on to her, or her tail feathers, we sometimes say. I was holding on to her tail feathers while she was going through this. And then the time all kind of runs together, but I think it was the following day. Michael came fairly early in the day and said, okay, this is done. This project is ending. We've done as much as we could. Everyone's heard the message.
The portal of releasing,
which is what they explained to us then, that this the pain that Christine had been feeling was literally the pain releasing, and that she had created a portal and had facilitated the pain being released, mm-hmm. that they had hoped that it would help for some of them who were so shut down that they couldn't even think, really, about any of the things we were saying. And they've told us since that it did work, that some did come through after that. So he also told us we will have 12 hours where they can still contact you. So Christine went to sleep, and I kept talking to them for all 12 hours to say, okay, this is it. If you want to come in, you better do it now. If you want to talk to us, do it now. So many have come through. Obviously, there's still some manning the programs because we're still feeling the frequencies. There's another one, too, I want to tell people about that you'll be familiar with, I bet. It's a sensation where it's like you get a boom, boom, boom really fast in your ears. And it doesn't last for very long, but it feels like a jackhammer in your head. And I felt it today, and I went, oh, that's familiar. I've been feeling that one for years. So we're just trying to give everybody, you know, a heads up about this stuff so that you'll know what it is when you feel it, so you won't be alarmed. And if you find yourself thinking ridiculous thoughts, know that they're not yours. They're just coming from the psychic network. And as Christine was describing them, I was thinking, you know, most of what they said to her are just the kind of things that a mean parent says. Mm-hmm. You'll never be worth anything. Look at yourself. You're a mess. You can't do this. And on and on. It was designed to try to, of course, stop us. But, I mean, we really laughed. Some of it was just so silly. All of it was so silly because, of course, it didn't affect either of us that they're saying these silly things. So that gave us a good laugh. But meanwhile, let's see, how will I connect these two? I'll go back and tell about Pebbles, right?
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to make the story short because we have lots of channelings still coming up, so I'll try and condense it as much as I can. We told you about our little cat Pebbles who disappeared, and that we were told that Pebbles was gone. So we mourned our little Pebbles. We accepted that she was gone. And then several days later, it was about a week since she had left Pebbles, or a cat looking like Pebbles, showed up on our doorstep. So we let her in, and the minute Christine looked at her, she said, "That's not Pebbles. It's Pebbles' body, but that's not the Pebbles I know," because Christine reads energies, so she could see it. So this new Pebbles ate a lot, slept round the clock for about a week, and then disappeared again. So we asked about her, you know, what is this? What's going on? But we had pretty much decided that Pebbles is gone, and whatever this was, she probably wouldn't be coming back. Well, today, Michael's here. Does he want to tell the story?
Let's explain what can happen.
Oh, right. He's going to explain what can happen. I'll just give him the details of today. She showed up on the doorstep again. And this time, Christine said, "This is definitely not Pebbles. She doesn't, her eyes don't look like Pebbles. Her fur looks different. She doesn't even walk like Pebbles." So we sat down in our little circle here and said, "Okay, Michael, what is this? Where's Pebbles? And who is this cat?" Now, Christina is going to channel Michael because he's got the whole story. That's going to really kind of knock your socks off, I think, because it really brings into new light our whole idea about what incarnation is and what a soul is and how this business happens. So I'm going to let Michael come and describe the story of the Not Pebbles, who is now living in our house. Okay, Michael, here, take it away.
Well, it's still Christine, just for a moment, because I wanted to mention also how amazing it was. We had called, of course, as we've mentioned, we've had an incredible animal communicator who speaks to wild and home animals at a soul level. She speaks directly to their soul and to their incarnation simultaneously. So she's a jewel. And we spoke with her today, and she confirmed everything we had been seeing. And then Michael came and even added to the story. So she had said, first she had said, well, I see that she's there, but I don't know who is in that body. I don't know this soul. This is Not Pebbles. And we're going to have to go step by step to find out who this little one is. And we could see the terror in her. And here she comes now, our new little one. Oh, welcome, sweetheart. Do you feel Archangel Michael loving you and pulling you in? Okay, well, we'll give the story now to Archangel Michael. Oh, there's so many amazing and interesting things unfolding at this moment. The stories that this family is sharing with you, I know, are mimicking the stories in your own homes. I am your ever-loving brother Michael, and I am truly thrilled to be here with you tonight. Yeah. Yes, the new little one has come into the room and is rubbing up against Catherine and has all brand new behaviors that little Pebbles never had, because indeed this is a new soul. I will tell you what happened. First, I want you to remember that right now you are all becoming, once again, multidimensional beings. And reality is a lot more flexible than you've been led to believe in the dimension and on the planet you've been living on. Now, with that said, our hearts are just melting. Catherine, Christine, all of us here watching. This new little one is purring and just outpouring love as we begin to tell her story. It is indeed true that the week, that 2 weeks ago when we gave you a show on Pebbles passing, it is true, Pebbles did pass. We gave Christine and Catherine the same vision of coyotes getting to her because we wanted them to fully let go of Pebbles. Because Pebbles is here with us now. Mother God left a tiny strand of the soul that she had been in Pebbles so that when Pebbles came back to the house, she would recognize us as kind, a place that is safe with good food, and she would know where to come. So it was a tiny thread, but inside our little Pebbles body was another soul, our fantastic animal communicator whom we love to work with got it just right. This was a brand new soul in the Pebbles body. Well, we sat together, and as Catherine and Christine asked, who is this soul? Why did she come? What does she need? It turns out that this was a little girl named, most recently in her lifetime, named Nancy. And
The being Nancy now responds immediately to her name, and this has all just been discovered today. And Nancy was one of the children, and in her last incarnation, which ended very recently, she was terribly, terribly sexually abused from birth. And she needed healing. And she came, and it was an agreement. As these things do happen, there are many ways they can happen. Most often, it's a contract where one soul comes into a body and then leaves at a particular point. Often a traumatic event happens. And then the other soul may come in and live in the body. It's far more flexible than you've been led to believe. So now we have beautiful Nancy. And this is what the family members have had to say. Her sister, Pebble's sister, Lady Bam Bam, her point of view is, okay, well, I don't know who you are, and I don't know why you're in that body. Where's my sister? And yet she's been gently accepting. Our little Che, we call Dr. Che Kumara, his comment was just, it doesn't matter who she is, she needs healing. And so we're in the process of seeing how we can embrace this little one. Her demeanor, her mannerisms, her voice, the shape of her body are so different. Mm-hmm. It is undeniable to me and to our family that this is a different being. I'm speaking with Christine now, as we have often slipped into doing recently. It is a precious story and more common than you might imagine. Having a body is a very precious gift on the surface of planet Earth at this time. We are poised on such tremendous events, and every moment there is more healing possible in 1 minute than could have been possible in a lifetime previously. So we just welcome little Nancy. She has her own team. She has her own life plan. And the family will discover day by day how to best care for her. I pause because, as your brother, I just feel so close to you. I know what's coming. And there is part of me that wants to ramble on about all the secrets we have in store for you. The blessings are more magnificent than if we told you, you couldn't and even wouldn't believe us, because it's too, you'd think, how could it be that good? And so we're presenting you with stories, love stories, like the love story of Miss Pebbles and little Nancy, so that you can stretch and open wider and expand in love to ready yourself for the multitude of blessings that you have worked so diligently for and that are truly upon us. I love you with all my heart. I am your brother, Michael.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you, Christine. Are you there, Meg?
Yes.
I love to hear what you felt and what you heard after you listened to channeling.
Oh, my gosh. What a surprise. How beautiful is this? Dude, yeah. Ever since we started
you
learning.
You thought.
Yes, I, ever since I started working with our pet communicator and started understanding, our pets have tremendous life plans equal to ours and are here for their own work. And I had a very special one in my life transition in March who's been with me for 13 years. And working with both of you and with our pet communicator has just, like Michael said, blown open the doors of how I see the world, how I see the birds, how I see my own pets, how I see the flying insects in my house. And it just completely changes and allows for more love than I ever thought possible to encompass this planet. And this is just another tremendous story. I mean, everyone listening knows and has an amazing pet story that has transformed their lives. All of us have them. And hearing these stories just is so rich that we get to literally see them. I mean, I literally look in the eyes of my pets completely different. I don't even call them pets anymore. That's not even a word I use. These sacred beings that are with me, and I'm just so grateful. So with these teachings has just allowed us, our hearts, to just blow wide open, and this is another one. I'm so grateful to hear it.
She's adapting very quickly. She seems, I don't know what the last time when she came for that week and just slept here and ate, she didn't seem animated, but now it's as if she's just moved in and she's accepted us. And she just keeps coming to say, you know, okay, pet me. I'm here to receive it. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with little Nancy. But I felt it as soon as she came to the door this morning. I went, I don't know who this is, but she needs help. She needs healing. And that's exactly what Che said. Oh, by the way, Che, that day that Christine was in pain and having, you know, going through the pain portal and opening and transmuting all those waves and waves of pain, Che would not leave her side. He was glued to her for 24 hours. I had to pull him off to even, you know, you have to go outside, Che. He'd get a drink of water and get back to glue himself to her to put out these beautiful waves of energy and to help drain off the pain. So we've learned a lot about what a little being could be. And Che is just becoming more and more amazing by the day. So we've started calling him Chenanda. Because he's such a good healer. And when we talked to the pet communicator, we were joking about it, and she said, oh, yes, he loves that.
She also said he's the most qualified one.
Oh, right.
Help Nancy.
She also said this morning, well, for the among the group of you, Che's really the best one to help her. So we're looking forward to seeing how Che can help to heal this little being who came to her and who came to us in the body of Pebbles. I've never seen anything like this happen. I've never known a being who just changed before my eyes and became another person. Pretty interesting. So we will update the story of
Nancy.
Pebbles Nancy and let you know how it develops. But it's it really, like we were saying, is a real amazing learning experience about what souls are and what's possible.
Okay.
And I think, Catherine, one of the things I wanted to highlight for people that Christine and your example, is I've noticed that the cats and the dogs that are in my house are coming around me and sleeping on me and sitting in my lap a thousandfold recently. And they are, I'm sure, performing great acts of healing. So just like Che is and your animals. And so for people listening, I know you're noticing this too. So we used to think that they would come around just for attention, but they're actually in their mission. Part of that is to heal us. So be aware that if your animals are coming around you and wanting attention and wanting to sit on your lap, take it. Is a reason
right.
You know,
yes.
And they're performing incredible acts of healing that we all need right now. And just I notice that when I read more, they come around more because I'm more sedentary. And all of a sudden I'm like, whoa, here comes the healing. So find yourself a good spot in the house, wherever you are, and go there more often and watch your pets come and provide this beautiful healing that's part of their mission. And just it'll really help our ascension.
That is so true, Meg. It'll really help our ascension. One of the things, Catherine and I both have an absolute commitment and trust between us and to the company of heaven, that we follow and trust what they tell us. So when they revealed to us that Pebbles was gone, we accepted it, profoundly accepted it, and we grieved very deeply for that week. And you heard our pain and what we were going through as we had lost such a bright, bright being as our little Miss Pebbles. And then we always say, Catherine, how is this going to work out, Catherine? And she said, I have no idea, but I know it's always going to be way better than we think it is. She says it to me all the time. And sure enough, it's such a unique thing to experience that Michael keeps assuring me, actually, honey, it's not that unique. But but it's amazing to us. And I just really wanted to emphasize that trust part. And going forward, how we are all learning to trust each other, and most especially to always learn to trust our beautiful family above, just on the other side of the thinnest yet veil.
Okay, let's see who wants to come in next. They have been so funny the last day or two. I can feel their energy is almost giddy. They're so excited and happy about what's coming. So they're standing here in their outfits, and they're doing what they have presented, something similar to what they've presented before, which is like, what's that, the platters?
Yes. The
temptations?
Yes, the temptations.
The temptations.
When I get really down, they come as the temptations.
They come as the temptations in their matching suits, and they do this doo-wop thing and clapping and, you know, the shuffle moves to cheer us up whenever we need a good laugh. But they're all here. And it was when I was writing down who's going to come tonight, I was writing, okay, it's going to be Sananda and Archangel Michael and Sanat Kumara and Ashtar and Saint Germain. I said, well, you're going to have to narrow it down a little. We don't have time for everybody to get a chance to talk tonight, but we will maybe have an extra show sometime very soon. A celebration show, who knows? All right, so I'm going to take a moment and let's see who's coming forward next. Saint Germain. Okay. I call Saint Germain Adamos because that's his first name. We call each other by our first names. I mean, they call us Christine and Catherine. So, okay, what do you want to talk about tonight? All right, Meg, I'm going to let you do your little introduction while
okay.
I get ready to let.
Well, this is the great start because Saint today Germain. I just said in the middle of the day, I went, okay, it's update time, Saint Germain. I was like, we're ready for an update. And he was already sending energy to all of us that he's coming to give us some good news and just to peek his head in. So we're so glad you're here, Adamos. Welcome.
Why, thank you, Meg. Yes, I'm delighted to be here. Some of you may remember who've been listening for a while. Catherine and Christine and Meg threatened to put me in the closet because they were not going to channel any more messages until after the RV actually happened. So I've sort of honored that requirement that we not give any more channelings that would promise something which might not actually happen on the very date or time that we hoped it would. Now, we talked about this a little bit. Well, I'm saying we. Michael talked about it a bit in his message today, but of course I was leaning over his shoulder, whispering in his ear the whole time. Well, there has been this phenomenon that many of you have sensed, where we had everything planned, everyone lined up, all the laws had been passed that needed to be. The banks were ready to go. The money has been shipped or is in process of being shipped and moved from place to place and so on. It's been, I don't think I need to tell you, it's been a very elaborate and intricate process. And we have actually been working on this for many years. The plans began more than 50 years ago. So you think you've been waiting? We all were feeling, oh, it's time. Now I think we've got it. And each time, the not too imaginative, but very determined cabal would find some way to throw a wrench in the works. And they would redesign a communications program, or they would find a way to crack codes or get into the bank's communication systems, especially the ones that use the internet. So it's been a sort of cat and mouse process leading down to these last days where we got it down to a matter of hours, where they would create some kind of problem and we would have it fixed within hours. And then an hour later, they'd come up with something else and we'd have that fixed within hours. And so when your so-called gurus have told you, we expect it to be this week, it's going to be this weekend, we really did expect that that's what would happen. But of course, you live in a three-dimensional free will duality. And so there is always this wild card effect that, you know, we never know what 1 out of 6 billion people is going to come up with. So I want to reassure you, we are on it, as you say. We, as Sananda described it earlier today, it was like playing whack-a-mole because every time we closed one door, another one would open. But our boots on the ground are brilliant, and I'm going to use an example for you. I'm going to tell you a little example that will help you to understand what's been going on. We have a beautiful network of communications with our boots on the ground, or as Sananda calls you, our co-workers. And those people on the ground who are in charge and are doing parts of this enormous project are in communication with one another, and sometimes through a chain of three or four different people. And it was set up that way so that for safety and for security purposes, so that no one person would have to have all the responsibility or all the risk, frankly. So you, most of you know Tony, TNT, our beloved Tony, who has shown such mastery and such patience and dedication over the years. If you listen to him, people ask him the same ridiculous questions over and over again, and he patiently explains. And not only that, but of course he's gotten terrible flack from people saying, you are a fraud because you keep promising things that don't actually happen. Well, we've all been accused of that, haven't we? Because we truly did expect it to happen earlier. But we haven't thrown our hands in the air and given up on it. Of course, any time that something happened, an entire committee would be at work on it. And we put our heads together, and the creativity and the determination was just star quality. So here's something of the way it works. Tony has his radio show scheduled, and we work this way with Catherine and Christine and Meg, too. We know when their radio show is going to be, so we plan what we want to communicate with all of you, and we joke about how we try to elbow each other out of the way so we can get a chance to talk, but of course, it's a community effort. So Tony's radio show is, or his conference call, is at a particular time every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Now, he has done this for years now, for free. And how anyone can say anything insulting or impatient to our Tony is just beyond us, because he has been stalwart. Well, here's how it works. Of course, there's a chain of people accomplishing their tasks, and each one has to accomplish their task in order to hand over the baton to the next one, who then hands over the baton to the next one. And some of those people along the line are the ones who communicate to Tony. So we give them messages that they are to send to Tony. And so there are often several people along in the relay who can get the information to Tony, even if there is some sort of glitch in the communication systems. And you can bet that getting a message from Iraq to California is not always an easy thing. So we have a whole network of people working on the financial systems. They are completely unknown to any of you, and I can promise you these are sterling, to coin a phrase, beautiful, hardworking, dedicated people. No one in the light work community, I assure you, is dragging their feet. There is no one on our team our light worker team across the globe working on these prosperity funds and the release of all these, all the freedom programs. No one is hesitating, backing off, refusing to accomplish, or causing any problem. It is entirely the work of the same folks that have been sending these frequencies. The same 13 families, the same groups of, well, I guess you could say belligerent, determined, and very snarly folks who truly do not want to give up their power. And even when the handwriting is on the wall, as you'd say, it's obvious that it's done. Everything is in place. Everyone is at their posts. Well, they've had a little luck messing up our communication systems this last round. It is fixed, I assure you. And as your dear Sheldon has talked about, these scallywags are well under control. But this is not just about the financial systems. You see, there is an analogy. Christine and Catherine have been talking about the frequency generators, the people who have developed these programs. And they didn't just put out sound frequencies. They included dropping nano and biological weapons that would then become embedded in your bodies and become transmissions, transmitters and receivers of the frequencies. And at the same time, they, Monsanto is producing GMO crops to do the same poisoning of the entire population, and so on. So they are working on every front to try to stop the progress and the ascension of humankind. For every program they have, we have 10. For every obstacle they create and develop, we have 100 solutions. It has only been a matter of organizing people on the ground who were able to take on these things, because of course it's been very dangerous to challenge the cabal, especially publicly. So much of the work we've done has been behind the scenes, unheralded, for good reason. Until all of you and all of us created so much momentum, because you, beloved ones, raised your vibrations to such a degree, and your positive expectations and your visions for a beautiful future have all combined to create a tsunami in which it would be absolutely impossible for our programs not to be successful. It's not even an option. So anyone who tries to tell you there's going to be a financial meltdown and the world economy is hitting the skids and everybody's going to be ruined, nonsense. The cabal is going to be ruined by it. It was not an easy thing to develop programs that would increase the wealth of our light workers and remove it from the hands of the people who were stealing it. So this is why we needed to work on every front, social, political, legal, financial, and so on. Even the pharmaceutical industry, the medical systems, all of it is being addressed. All of it. And there are groups of light workers all over the world just beginning to discover each other. So what a delight it's going to be when we're able to say, all right, Tony, who were the people that helped you? And he can tell you. And they can come forward and get their blue ribbons. Everybody who has worked on all of these programs are going to be celebrated. And that means all of you, because the ones who have, who thought they weren't really working on a mission, who quietly sat in a place in their house that felt comfortable to them and meditated and saw in their mind's eye the picture of paradise on earth that is coming, they had a powerful effect too. The ones who raised their children to think about happy times ahead, that's a tremendous contribution. The ones who talk to each other about happy times ahead, all of it has created this enormous tsunami of love. And I am so excited and so delighted to tell all of you about this. Now, Catherine left out something. I used more than one song to announce the happiness that we all feel. We were also singing to her and to Christine. Rolling, rolling, rolling. See them doggies rolling, right? So we have some fun figuring out what songs we're going to sing or play for people to get the messages across. And if you listen carefully, folks, you're going to hear the messages we're sending you too. So when you hear a song going through your head, stop and think. And you know it wasn't a song you were just singing to yourself. It just pops into your head. Stop and think. Who's sending me a message right now? It's great fun for us. So I look forward. I'm suggesting right now that you should have an extra show sometime very soon, because we all have so much to say to you and it's so much fun for us. And besides, once it's all rolling, 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 we're going to want to come and celebrate with you.
Donna, what are the rumors of your after party?
Oh, Christine just asked me about our after party. The rumors are true. We are planning, well, I'm not going to give it all away, but I can just tell you, we've gotten out the finest linens and china. We've hired the best bands. We have a costume matron, bar none. We are all going to be dressed to the nines. We are preparing such surprises for you, feasts and music and dancing the night away. And this party may last, not just for a night or a day or a week. Let's designate a month, a freedom party. It is going to be the biggest blast you ever attended, I guarantee it. And this party will be rolling across the planet. It will touch every town, every city, every country. We are going to have a fabulous time. So Thanks for asking, Christine. All right, now I better not hog any more time. I know Sananda and Mother are going to come and talk to you too. So I will say namaste to all of you. I am your Saint Germain, and I can't wait to talk to you again. Thanks, Saint Germain. This is Catherine.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Saint Germain. That was fun.
They are in such high spirits. It's really funny. Okay. That sounded like good information. I often don't hear the words, but I could, boy, could I feel his energy.
Very good news. Yes, it was.
Oh, yes, and Christine asked about the after party. We've been calling it the after party. So after the good times start to roll, yeah, it is going to be quite a party. Okay, I think I should move over once again and let Sananda come through. I think he's going to make it a quick message because Mother wants to come and beam her love on us. And okay? Yeah, I'll let you take this for a moment, Meg, while I
very good. I'm settle course.
In and shift gears.
Absolutely. Both exuberant, but different energies for sure. And we welcome our brother Sananda. Welcome, Sananda. We're so glad you're here.
Hello, dear Meg. Oh, it is a beautiful time. We've said this to you before, that we're excited and we're celebrating and we're looking forward, but this time we really are practicing our dance moves. We're ready for the party. And, of course, Michael is, between Michael and Saint Germain, they are organizing. They are so excited. They are getting ready to do something very special to entertain everyone. So I can't wait to see what it's all about. Well, I gave an introduction to Michael's message, in a sense, today to put in the newsletter, because I do have an important announcement about what's happening. Some of you know the story, and I described it briefly in the newsletter, about the time just before Lemuria sank. And the Atlanteans were, the Dark Ones, were connecting with the Anunnaki and the Archon Alliance and beginning to create disastrous goings-on on the planet. And it was decided by the priests and priestesses of Lemuria that the flames that were burning around Earth, the sacred flames, must be protected because they felt the danger coming. They felt the darkness descending. And it was decided, with Mother and Father's permission, that the sacred flames would be moved to the many etheric retreats around the world. Now, some time ago, Catherine and I did a number of shows. You can find them in the archives. We're going to do some work on the archives and help to make the shows more accessible and easier to find. But if you can find the list of archived shows on Blog Talk Radio, it's Channel Panel. If you just scroll back through the months, we have done many shows by now. In 2014, we did a number of shows that were, we started with healing shows, Healing for Ascension, which I recommend for all of you. We have a whole series of shows, and it covers many different topics. No show is the same as any other. And then shortly after that, we began to do wonderful programs that included visiting the etheric retreats. We went to St. Germain's retreat. We went to Sanat Kumara's and so on. We had a marvelous time. And you will be able to go back and listen to those shows and hear the descriptions of each of these beautiful etheric retreats that are, frankly, just barely beyond what you can see. They're just slightly cloaked. So as you are awakening, as more and more people are raising their vibration, as planet Earth is ascending, you're going to be able to see these beautiful etheric retreats. And they will come closer and closer to Earth. So, go back to the archives, those of you who haven't heard them all, and even if you have, and remind yourselves of these beautiful, well, they were places where the spirit of paradise on earth was held, were held. The flames, the sacred flames that represent all of the virtues and healing. There are the flames of justice, the flames of unity, the flames of compassion, all of the wonderful qualities of a higher dimensional civilization. And those have been kept safe in the etheric retreats across the world. And now, each of you, because of your deep connection with us, with your ascended masters, with Mother and Father, each of you have begun to carry the flames without having been designated, without having been named. You intuitively knew that there was something in your heart that you needed to carry, and that you were willing to bring forth to the world. And so in the message today, I described the picture that I have of all of you carrying the torch like the Olympic torch. And today, Veterans Day in the U.S., a time of remembrance, but we like to expand that. This is not just about the warriors who gave their lives or who were heroic in battle. We also want to remember those who have been the lightwork warriors, the ones who have carried this flame in their hearts. And you know who you are. Today, we proclaim the day that you would all carry your torches through the arena into the Olympic Stadium, the cosmic Olympic Stadium, where all is recorded on the Jumbotron. Yes, we do have a Jumbotron, similar to what you've seen at football games and rock concerts and so on. But ours, of course, is higher technology, but similar. We see all of you carrying the torch. And today is the day we celebrate 11/11, the flame of unity. We see you running with your torches held high into the stadium where you join together to create the giant flame of unity, consciousness, and love. And that flame will burn eternally here on the surface of planet Earth. The flames, the sacred flames, are being returned to planet Earth. And all of us rejoice. Tara is ecstatically happy to feel this uplifting celebration of the return of unity, consciousness, and love to the surface of planet Earth. Keep that picture in your minds and in your hearts, and know that you are the ones who have carried this torch, your own torch in your heart, and that you have made it possible to restore the eternal flame of unity here on planet Earth. You're seeing it, aren't you? And feeling it. This is forever. We will never return to the chaos and the darkness that has existed on planet Earth. It will take a little time for all the details to be ironed out and for everyone to awaken. But we have indeed turned a corner. Beloved brothers and sisters, it will never be the same again. So I send you all my greatest love, my joy, my pleasure at being with you. I can't wait to hug you all in person. And I mean in my person. Well, namaste, everyone. We are ready for this party. We'll speak again next week, if not before. Night, Meg.
Thank you, Sananda. Thank you.
Oh, well. We had tears in our eyes as he was describing the cosmic Olympic Stadium. Mm. I saw he pictured just thousands and thousands of people carrying torches and running to join their torches together. How exciting. Oh, I can't wait to hear about what this is all doing with so many things happening at the same time. We will learn soon. What were you going to say, Meg?
I just felt that energy of carrying it in our hearts and then having this one unified flame where we all go up and carry our arms and lay it on this beautiful platform. And I just felt when he said Mother Earth, Mother Terra, I just felt that so strongly, how happy she is. And we could never imagine what this has been for her. That's going to be some story to hear, how Terra carried us through these amazing awarenesses and awakenings and what this means for her. That will be wonderful. So I heard Sananda get very tender when he mentioned Terra and how wonderful this must be for her, for all of us.
They have promised us mentors and history lessons, and I think they hinted that the newsletter that came out today is really kind of a beginning of some history lessons that we're going to be getting from our beloved ones. So little by little, they're giving us a glimpse into what has really gone on and the truth about where planet Earth has been and how we're turning it around. It's really such an amazing time. Such an amazing time. And I was especially touched. I think Michael said it tonight, that a body is so precious. That this switch that Pebbles made to let Nancy come into her body was really a gift to Nancy. And I really felt it when she came. It was like, oh, here's a little one that needs our help. And I felt honored that we were given a child that we could help. So it's a very exciting time. Things that we could never have predicted, could never have even imagined, are happening every day. So I'm feeling the such fullness about this time, such excitement and newness. It's like we never know what's coming next. So that's why we said tonight's show was just when you thought you'd figured things out, it changes. So thank you, Meg, for your, I love hearing your observations and your feelings after one of our beloved masters comes to talk to us. So I think Mother is going to get to do the wrap-up.
Nobody
else
mother.
Can.
I agree.
Do you have any questions? It just occurred to me. If we have any questions about any of this, we can ask Mother. I do apologize to folks that we haven't been able to do the question and answer format any longer, but there's so much to pack in that we just couldn't do that system anymore. But I just heard somebody say we could answer a question. What do you suppose that was? Well, I'm sure there are people on the line who have questions. So let's see what Mother answers. She knows. She hears what people are feeling and thinking. So I often find, it's interesting, when I go back to look at my email after we've done a show, I find a question. And then I write back to this person and say, well, they answered it tonight on the show, right? So they read our emails. They listen to what people are feeling and thinking, who are listening. And even, now don't ask me how they do this, but anticipating the people who will be listening to the archives and consider that when they answer questions. So, oh, well, Christine has her hand up. Okay. Here, I'm going to let her speak here.
Yes, my question for Mother God from my heart tonight is, how can we best be helping at this very moment? What would you have us focus on, do? How can, it's a yearning in all our hearts, I know. Every light worker yearns the same thing right now. How can we be the most help, our best selves? Mother, how can we contribute? There it is. I'll give you back to Catherine, who I feel Mother is already so close.
Oh, that's a great question. All right. I'm going to turn this over to Mother and see what she says. Thank you, Christine. That was, yes. We, of course, we're feeling this because we just finished this project yesterday, today, actually. So now we're thinking, oh, what's next?
Well, I really love when Mother gave us our assignment last week. So I'm looking forward to our new assignment because I loved it. All week I was going, you are a light worker. You are a light worker. You are a light worker.
Oh, yes.
The person who came and gave the mail and every patient that walked in the clinic and the checkout person. It was fun, and it did open my heart even wider and gave me a smile on my face. So Mother's good at coming up with fun assignments. So I'm looking forward to Christine's answer, too.
Oh, thank you for wrapping that bow up. Yeah, everyone's a light worker. That was Mother's assignment last week. Aha. Uh-huh. So let's see what she has for us today.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm going to put the phone on my other ear. I switch sides when Mother comes.
Well, Mother, we are so happy to have you come.
Oh, my beloved children, I am so delighted to be here. The warmth I feel between you and amongst you and coming through the lines to my dear daughters, oh, it makes my heart sing. Yes, you did a beautiful job with last week's message. So many began looking around them as you described, Meg, and seeing their friends anew, seeing the children they encountered, and looking into their eyes and seeing the light and the fire that they carry. Yes, indeed. You are all light workers. You have been, and you are coming into your own now. Most of you have been light workers through many lifetimes. It's difficult on planet Earth, of course, to remember a lifetime before. So most of you really just are operating with what you can remember in this lifetime. But this is why we enjoy coming to tell you these things. It helps you to open your hearts and open your unconscious memories so that you can reach down into your treasure chest of memories and know in your heart that you have felt this kind of love before. You have known the fire in your soul to see things flourish, to see those around you happier, more prosperous, more loving. It is bubbling to the surface in all of you. Your yearning for peace, for community, to express your own generosity, your kindness, and your love for one another. Those, well, let's call them the most basic instincts of humankind. Those most basic instincts toward joy, love, freedom, fairness, and community. A sense of belonging. It's in your bones, beloved ones. It's in your DNA. And you are just now beginning to truly expand in every direction. And with that expansion, your light grows daily. Some of you are growing so fast, we look around and say, oh, look. Look, there's Sally. She's taking off like a rocket. And look at Joe. His heart is swelling like it's going to burst. And when your heart bursts, it's like the 4th of July fireworks. We love to see that. We're all feeling that now. You heard it. When Sananda and Saint Germain and Michael are all telling you how joyful they are. They truly are. They can hardly stop laughing and they're practically jumping up and down. We do feel those things, you know. We do feel exuberance and joy and humor. We love jokes. Well, you've heard some of our jokes tonight. There are many more coming. Open your hearts, beloved ones, and you will feel our jokes and our fun and our laughter and our great love for you. We are truly in awe of what, well, it's really a handful compared to the entire population. There is a handful of our light workers who are relentless, determined, and so strong in their faith and their convictions that they are creating a tsunami of love every day. You know who you are, beloved ones. There are some who are just awakening to their potential to do that and are becoming more and more dedicated and strong and determined. I loved Sananda's description of you carrying the torch, for that is what it looks like to us. So many of you now awakening, looking around you, and you see the light workers who have been in this lifetime and in former lifetimes, have been the beacon of light and love on planet Earth. There was a terrible tendency, actually propaganda campaign, on the part of the cabal to try to discredit all of your heroes. They tried to dig up so-called scandals in everyone's life, and they tried to sully the brilliance and the honor of so many great masters who have come here, who have come to give their hearts, their energies, their lives to this project, which is now coming to fruition. You know that our dear Sananda came in the body of Jesus. We thought at the time that that would be the beginning of this golden age. It has taken a bit longer than we anticipated. Nevertheless, we are here. When I say we expected it to be the beginning, we expected it would be a more gradual and delightful and calm escalation of energies. It has been anything but that. It became darker and darker for a while, and now all of you have taken off like skyrockets. So your transition has been abrupt, extreme, brilliant, and very dramatic. You have made history. In all of the multiverse, there has never been a planet that has been able to accomplish such a thing. To go from the third dimension to the fifth in such a short time. We are in awe. And this is what I want to talk to you about as your small assignment that I have for you for this week. Every one of you who is listening to this has had brilliant moments in your life. When you rose to an occasion and you were able to perform an act or create an environment around you that changed everything, if for you and for those around you, if only for a moment. Catherine has talked about this in terms of something that has sometimes been called a flash in the pan. It's a time when you performed something so brilliantly that you shouldn't really have been able to do. An athletic feat, a presentation, a conversation where you suddenly tapped into brilliance that you yourself didn't even know you had. It could have been a small thing, a time when you saw someone who needed something and you charged forward and made it happen. A moment of brilliance. Think of it. You may not find those moments right away. This is why it's a project for the week. Every day I want you to search in your heart, in your being, for moments where you felt your own brilliance. And those moments, my beloved children, were the times when you leapt from the third dimension into the fifth or higher. And you see, this is why this transition feels familiar to you. You've already done it. Now, if you look back in your life, find the moments of brilliance and connect them. See them as your true nature. This was you, my child. This is who you really are. Underneath the worries and the schedules and the training and the expectations, underneath all of that that you got used to carrying around with you, underneath it all, you are a fifth dimensional being. We always say, well, you're multidimensional and you're becoming more so. But you always have been. There have always been those moments. Think back when you were a child. Did your parents ever describe something you did that was terribly funny or extra charming? That was a flash in the pan. Think of your high school days. Was there a time when you encountered someone and there was such a spark and they told you, my, I never realized how brilliant you were, or I never realized how creative you are. You'll find them. Beloved ones, they are there in small pockets along the way. Look for them and keep looking for them. And as you do, you will see your true identity as a brilliant fifth dimensional being, ready for your ascension. So now, your work is just to connect the dots and see the glorious being that you have always been. For you are our spark of love. You are a child of Mother and Father God. You were born in love, and you were born with the creative spark. And that, my beloved ones, in a human being, shows up as intelligence, humor, creativity, physical prowess, the ability to awaken something in others. Doesn't matter what it is, whether it's a love for cooking or the ability to speak languages or the love of being on a sailboat and being able to trim the sails just right. Or the love of being able to swim. They're all there before you. Think of the time you first rode your bicycle. Or the time you first made a friend. Or the time you first dug into the ground and found a creature there. Imagine all the bright moments, and that, beloved ones, is who you are, and who you will be in the new golden age. I love you with all my heart. I look forward to seeing your bright smiles when you discover such wonderful things about yourself. Namaste, beloved children. Namaste, Meg. Namaste, Christine.
Namaste, Mother.
And Catherine, too. Thank you, Mother.
Thank you.
Well, there's our assignment.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, imagine yourself. Oh, she was just showing me all these pictures of children jumping rope and riding bicycles and putting a basket through a hoop and the belt goes off and everybody swims really fast and all these sunshine and like efforts that we put in to doing something special in our lives. It was lovely. I'm inspired.
And to have her show us that that these are the moments of fifth dimensional experiences, that's a new twist for all of us to hear. That was the leaping that was always a part of our existence. So for those of us who think we're doing something new, it was really quite wonderful to hear that this is like riding a bike. And having us to remember that. So thank you, Mother. That's very reassuring.
Yeah, wow. That makes it really fun.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I sure look forward to hearing what people learn from this exercise. This is going to be really fun. She's just smiling, and the whole group is here, and they're all just smiling and, like, ear to ear and putting out sparks. Oh, wow, that was fun. Okay, it's time for us to say goodnight, and I'll put on the music, and I apologize. I haven't been able to – it used to kind of slide quietly and nicely. Now I can't seem to get this. It might be the internet connection, actually, that's making it suddenly shut off. But I apologize for that. But we still enjoy hearing Farrell. What's his name? William Farrell? Mm-hmm. William Farrell sing. Happy.
Good night, everyone. See you soon.
Oh, and our new sign-off, which is what Christine always said to Pebbles. You are love and you are loved. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone. It might seem-